Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to your Dunamis Live. I'm Dr. Pauline Dillard, Executive Director and CEO of Dunamis Center Ministries in Colorado Springs, Colorado.
And I'm Catherine Pearson. I'm the Discerning Childbirth Educator and Wellness Coach here at Dunamis Center Ministries. At Dunamis Center Ministries, our mission is to bring praise, honor, and glory to God by building Christ-centered, heart-connected marriages, births, and families who have deeper relationships with God and each other.
And we did a show about what that means to us a few weeks back on the praise, honor, and glory. So I'd like to encourage people to listen to that if they haven't yet, because they may be wondering, well, what does that mean to us and how do we implement it? And I have heard from some people who listened to it that they really liked it and they enjoyed learning, you know, our perspective on that.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Good. So that was fun. And so what we want to do today is bring you a different sort of a word, but we'll bring you God's word too. Catherine, we now live in times where I keep hearing a lot about adrenal fatigue, for one thing.
Yes, I've heard that.
Mm-hmm. The increase of autism for another.
Mm-hmm.
Depressions and anxieties are gone through the roof.
Mm-hmm.
And other ADHDs as well, and ADD, and how people are not able to seem to be able to control it or get what they need physically to confront or deal with it.
Right, to possibly minimize its effects and how they deal with it in their everyday life.
Right, and then, you know, we just had our show with Diane Marshall of Christian Heritage Academy of Midwifery run a couple weeks ago, and she has been telling me how much adrenal fatigue she's seeing in her pregnant moms and how it's gotten to really be a huge problem, which then affects ability to birth your kids.
Well, not to mention, too, that whatever state the mom's body is in is as good as the state that the baby's body can be in.
Exactly.
I don't know if I said that very well. But, but you can't give, yeah. I mean, the baby can't be healthier than the mom is to start.
Right, right. Well, and for me, you know, I started sort of hearing about the gut and psychology issues. And I was very interested because, you know, I've been very interested in what I call psychonutrition since early,
a long time.
Like 1980.
Yeah.
Very long time. And so it's becoming more and more of an issue, even for therapists. And so I've been training therapists on it. But it's been very important to me to say, what are we doing wrong here that depression is increasing, like almost double since the 1950s.
Really?
Yeah, and suicide rates are going up, and anxiety is really high, and all these other health issues in the physical as well are just skyrocketing in ways that we always say, well, it's got to be the root, it's got to be, you know, let's go back to prevention, let's go back to the diet, but are we really understanding what it's doing?
What the
diet issues are actually doing to a human body. We hear about cancers, which we're aware of, but not some of these other things as to how it's contributing to that. So, you know, one of the things that was coming out of that, those little tidbits of research, is how much the gut impacts mood and emotion, the health of the gut.
Yes.
And that they even go so far as to call it a second brain sometimes.
Right.
For producing neurotransmitters and helping a person with depression and anxiety.
Right. You know, it reminds me of the old cliche that you goes, you are what you eat.
Right.
And in reality, we really are.
Yeah. So if we're eating depressing food.
Right. If we're eating junk, if we're eating processed stuff that has no nutrition,
then we're processed with no nutrition.
Exactly. We have no enzymes. We have no ability to... If we don't give the stomach its tools,
right,
then how can we expect the nutrition to flow to the rest of our body?
Right. And we all know if you don't put oil and gas in your car, it will not function right.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens if you don't put oil in your car?
The engine seizes.
It seizes, which means it completely locks up and stops working.
Mm-hmm. A similar analogy is, okay, so you have a gasoline engine. What happens when you put diesel in it?
Yeah, it isn't going to work either.
When you put the wrong type of fuel in,
yes,
it still doesn't work.
Exactly, exactly. So we do this to our body all the time, and we think, well, it shouldn't matter because we can just trot along for quite a while before our system seizes up
mm-hmm.
and says, I'm not doing that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So about 18 months ago, I was talking to a woman, and she handed me a book. And the book is called Gut and Psychology Syndrome. And I'll be honest, it's a thick book.
Okay.
And it looks very daunting. It's got small print. And I thought, I don't have time for this.
Yeah.
And I threw it in my pile. Now, that's that pile by the bed, you know, that gets higher and higher.
Mm.
Yeah.
Just stuff keeps stacking.
Yes.
It's like where stuff goes to die.
Yeah. But a couple months ago, I thought, I'm just going to grab books from the top of this stack. I'm not going to think about how I feel about the book.
Huh.
And I'm just going to read them until I get this stack down.
Okay.
Well, this book made it to the top of that stack.
Ooh.
And I had a day where I went, no! But then I picked it up and I thought, no, I'm just going to read through it. And I think it was one of the best things I ever did.
Ah.
It's, like I said, it's very daunting. The book is not really well organized, I'll be honest about that.
Oh, okay.
It tends to jump around a little bit
okay.
as far as, like, here's this issue and then here's what you need to eat. Instead of just saying, here's the issues and now let me give you the diet plan, you know, based in the, you know, in order. So you kind of have to hunt around for all the things in here.
Okay.
But one of the things that came out of it was this doctor, it's Natasha Campbell McBride, she's an Australian doctor, was very interested in looking at autism and ADHD in children.
Okay.
Pediatrician. And, you know, a lot of people say, well, I'm changing their diet, which a lot of people with autistic kids have tried, you know, like no grains or no dairy or all of these things. And so she started actually researching it and discovered that while they have the right intentions, they're on the wrong track.
Okay.
So I read all the way through this book.
Really?
Uh-huh. I did.
Did it take you as long as you thought it might?
It did not, because some of the writing is so fascinating that I just wanted to keep reading.
Good.
Because I wanted to learn more and more and more about the issue.
Mm-hmm.
She's not a totally boring writer, but there is a lot of technical stuff in here. So if that kind of overwhelms you, you might want to look for like the GAPS diet menu cookbook or whatever, which is written not so much for a doctor.
Good.
I mean, I have to admit, I do have a PhD, so this type of writing is not daunting for me.
Right.
But it would be for other people.
Yeah.
And so I want to be fair about that.
Sure. Well, and I found when I was trying to look up information about it on the internet, to be honest, there was not a lot out there that would explain the details about it.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, it seems like the author may be really trying to protect the proprietary information that's in the book. Yeah. So, yeah, if there's a Cliff Notes version.
There might be some coming out. But
yeah.
The name of the book is Gut and Psychology Syndrome. And you may have heard it referred to as GAPS.
Yeah.
So people have probably heard GAPS. And then they go, oh, the GAPS diet, it's so hard. I'm going to admit, it probably is really, really hard if you have ADHD or autism, though. If you have a child with that, it would be very much worth it. And I do appreciate that she talks about doing it in stages and steps.
Okay.
You know, like phase one, phase two, because it is such a huge change to getting off of the typical American addictive diet.
Yeah.
Which is really what we have.
Right.
With the junk foods and the candies and all that.
Yeah. Well, and to walk into a grocery store, it's probably so easy to find those, like you said, addictive things.
Yes.
Rather than find the foods that are going to supply nutrients and enzymes and health to our bodies.
Right. And I'll be the first to admit, I have days where I'm like, I just need crunchy stuff. Okay. And I'm not going to think to have a carrot or peanuts or something or nuts or something. I want a cracker. I want a chip. I want something like salty and crunchy. And I am really honestly trying to figure out how to get my brain to stop going there when it says crunchy.
Yeah.
But it's not easy and it takes a full commitment.
Sure.
So what we're dealing with is, some of you may have actually heard of also leaky gut syndrome.
Okay. Yeah.
So leaky gut is part of the GAPS. You know, it's the gut is not absorbing foods correctly, and so the spaces between the cells are widening, and it doesn't have what it needs for the integrity of the cell walls to keep those things tight. So if you've had basic biology, and if you remember things like osmosis, like now the spaces are too big, so things that shouldn't be going into cells or going into cells or shouldn't be passing through the gut wall or passing through the gut wall and getting into parts of the body that they should never be in.
Mm.
And they're poisoning that.
Sure. That's interesting.
Yeah. So the diet is designed to heal all of that, to give the body what it needs to rebuild its integrity. I'm going to tell you one of the things that was the most shocking to me in this book.
Okay, yeah.
Was that it wasn't shocking to me that egg yolks are healthy for you. Okay, I want to make sure I'm clear on that. We've been talking about egg yolks and pregnancy and all that for years. I've been doing it for 35 years, that eggs are healthy for you. They got a bad rap on cholesterol, that the body needs cholesterol, and everybody has their own set point for cholesterol. So she talks about that in here.
Interesting.
So if you actually cut cholesterol, your body will start making it.
Right.
Because you need it for those neurotransmitters.
Mm-hmm.
They're lipoproteins. They need the cholesterol and the right kinds of fats.
Mm-hmm. Your brain needs
right
to keep processing. Yeah.
Right. And so people say, well, what's the difference then with a fertilized egg? Well, if you crack the egg open and you see that little red dot in there, it's a fertilized egg. The interesting thing is there's just enough of the right amount of what's called lecithin in that egg yolk for your body to process the amount of cholesterol in that egg yolk.
Oh.
And so your body can utilize the benefits of that cholesterol better and where it's needed if it has that fertilized, if a you know, male chicken was involved, if there was a rooster there.
Okay. Yeah.
So that's what creates the balance, you know, that God's made nature to be perfectly balanced,
mm-hmm.
and that's a piece of it.
And so she talks about that in the book? Or?
She doesn't talk so much about the fertilized egg yolks, but what surprised me was that one of the first lines of healing your gut is to eat egg yolks. Like, you can fry the egg, but you need to keep the yolk runny, and that you could eat up to 6 a day to heal your gut.
Wow.
And the cholesterol is not going to be a problem for you because they got a bad rap in the first place, and your body's going to use all of that because, remember, an egg yolk is a complete food.
Right.
And it's because it makes a, you know, complete chicken. So it has protein, it has all the vitamins, it has the nutrients, it has the right amount of fats, it has all of that in it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, I was quite surprised by the actually 6 to 8 egg yolks a day. So if you want to fry your eggs or something, that's fine, or soft boil them and get the yolks. That startled me, I'll be really honest.
Yeah. I must admit that I runny yolks have creeped me out for years. I just think, it just sounds disgusting.
I know.
It looks icky.
I know.
But maybe there's a way to try it.
My problem is I don't like the yolk by itself. I like toast
with
it.
Yeah.
I
was just thinking,
supposed to be cutting the wheat.
Maybe I could stop it up with
well, as long as you've got some sprouted grains and, you know, things grown the way they were in biblical times, you should be fine.
Yeah.
But now I look at, like, I like scrambled eggs and hard-boiled eggs, and all of a sudden I'm like, but I'm not going to get the good stuff out of the yolk if I eat those. I need
to kill it.
I need the yolk. So it's funny because I've been doing that, and it's been not 6 to 8 eggs a day, but keeping my yolks runny. And I do feel better as far as the absorption and things like that. I don't know. Could be all in my head, which is really where I want it to go.
Well,
keep me sane.
I'll tell you what, I did just a little experiment recently where I tried to take out some grains for a few days, and my head felt great.
Yes.
I had no headaches, no.
Yeah. Yeah.
And today I think I had a piece of toast this morning, so my head's a little bit
right
achy, but.
But even if you eat the right kind of toast, you know, it's like there was wheat in the Bible times.
Yeah.
So if we want to really heal, and you read GAPS, it's almost all about getting foods the way they were in Old Testament times.
Right.
And then eating them raw. And during the healing phase, eating them high enough for the healing process.
You mean when you say that, you mean eating enough of them?
Yeah, like you may eat more of some things when you're trying to actually heal the gut than when the gut is already actually healed. Then you don't need as much, you just need enough to maintain.
I see.
So sometimes when we're actually healing the body, we sort of high dose some things,
mm-hmm.
and then we back off of them later.
Right.
And then that's just to maintain a healthy level.
Okay.
And you were looking at the meaning of healing, and one of the things you found was that it refers to normal, which we'll have you talk about after the break. So why don't you share how to connect with us here at Your Dunamos Life.
Yes. First, you can find us on Facebook. I think you can find just about everything on Facebook.
Yeah. You can even find Dr. Natasha Campbell McBride, who wrote this book on Facebook.
The author of Gaps, that's right. So to find us on Facebook, search Dunamos Center Ministries. Dunamos is spelled D-U-N-A-M-A-S. On Twitter, go to @YourDunamosLife. We would certainly welcome an email from you if you have any questions, comments, concerns. That address to reach us is DunamosLife@DunamosCenter.com. And there is, of course, the good old telephone. I feel like this is kind of an antiquated thing, but people still use it.
And I think it's best.
It would reach us the most directly.
Yeah.
The number to reach us is 719-231-7183.
Yes. And, you know, we will in the future be doing more things on nutrition, mental health, pregnancy, birthing. That'll show up on the website. But right now we're just sort of laying some foundational things to get started thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not an easy thing to completely change over your diet. One of the things we do talk about is doing it slowly and transitioning because we want to go back to normal,
right.
Which is what we mentioned before with some of the Bible study you did on it.
Yeah, I was looking for healing, and heal and healing are together in Vine's Concise Dictionary. So in the Old Testament, there's a word, R-A-P-A, with an apostrophe at the end, which means to heal, and then it says, i.e., restoring to normal, which I thought was a really neat way to think about it.
Right.
We're trying to maybe not even just feel better, but to restore completely to normal.
Right. And that normal is the way God designed us, the human body, to work.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes we ask for him to do something that isn't even really like part of the design. maybe with GAPS, I do encourage people to pray over their gut. You know, I call it body centering prayer. You find out what's wrong with you and you pray very specifically. So if somebody has a gut issue, I would say find out as much as you could about what your disease process is. And then in your prayer time, actually pray very specifically. Touch your tummy, your gut, and pray for those cells to tighten up. Pray for your body to absorb the right nutrients. Pray for God to send His Holy Spirit every day to help you stay focused on the right diet. To pray for healing within a specific context of how God designed the human body to work.
Yeah.
So you don't want to pray for... give me an iron gut so I can just eat whatever I want. Okay, because that's outside of the scope of normal.
You know, you were talking about...
this is Sharon, our producer. She's going to
welcome,
jump in.
Sharon.
Yeah.
You were talking about how God designed.
Yes.
And what I find interesting is in the Old Testament, the seat of the emotions is the bowels,
yes.
which is the gut.
Yes, absolutely. So
it's been there from the beginning.
Right, and then we treat the body as if... it's, you know, just in the head or even just
the
heart. And we want to say, you cannot, you know, when we started specializing medicine, we started dividing the human into parts and then thinking that those parts could operate separate from each other.
No,
they cannot. So even though I say, pray specifically over an area, for example, when I pray, and I try to do this most mornings, I'm going to be fair and say I don't always sleep, I don't always get up on time, I don't always get it done.
Oh, but, so you're normal like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
Sorry.
Yeah, I gave it away.
Break that bubble.
So when I do get to it, I actually do pray about my digestive system. It's just part of, even though I've never really had like super big problems, I don't want to either.
Sure.
So I actually pray through the whole thing. And our digestive system starts in the mouth.
Right.
It's the saliva. It's the teeth. It's the enjoyment of the flavors.
Mm-hmm.
So I start there, that all of that functions well, that there's no problems with swallowing, because sometimes people can have problems with swallowing, but also that all the digestive systems work together properly. Now, mm-hmm. I don't really understand everything that's involved with digestion, but I know the liver is, I know the pancreas is, and I know that the bile system is,
mm-hmm.
the gallbladder.
Mm-hmm.
So,
sorry, quick question. Do kidneys come after digestion?
Yes, they're the urinary system.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So I always pray for those parts to function properly, to break the food down properly, to help my body to be able to absorb it properly, that the gut will absorb everything that I need and eliminate the rest.
There it is.
Because you don't need to have that sitting around either.
Right,
if you don't
right.
need it. It's just bulk to keep that system functioning well so you can absorb everything that you need.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you know that you have other specific problems like this leaky gut or this GAPS or whatever, then you want to pray for that too.
Do you have any suggestions, Dr. Pauline, on how they might go about finding what their specific issue is? Do you think it's purely a medical doctor or are there any other options?
Well, I know that, Dr. Oz, I saw one day, did a show on the leaky gut stuff.
Okay.
And the symptoms of the leaky gut, so you could look there. Dr. Mercola lists a lot of symptoms of different gastrointestinal problems and things like that. And we have somebody locally that's really good at this, and that's Cheryl Townsley. She also has written books on different symptoms of different nutritionally related disorders, I guess, is a good way to say it. And she's in Monument, Colorado. So you could look her up online, and she would be able to help with some of this as well. I just kind of keep my eyes and ears open, and when something comes up, I'm like, huh, what's that? How does it fit with this?
Yeah.
And doing your Google searches, I know you said you had trouble finding the GAPS, but you're going to find leaky gut. Gut insight and depression. You're going to find things on autism in the gut. And you know what I mean? So
mm-hmm,
just
mm-hmm.
kind of play with wording.
Right, right. That's the fun with Google, yes.
Yes, and I had somebody challenging me on our page the other day about where's the citations, and I said, just look up Google. And an hour later, they're like, we can't find anything. And it took me less than 5 minutes to find what they were looking for. And I did tell them, I said, by the way, it took me less than 5 minutes on Google to find this. So you have to play with wording.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. I think I didn't even know how much was related to GAPS. So you're saying leaky gut, would you say irritable bowel syndromes.
Mm-hmm. If you have full-blown Crohn's, it can be helped with the GAPS diet as well. I don't remember so much what she said about that because I've not had the problem, but I remember her talking about it and that mm-hmm. it can be healed quite a bit
mm-hmm.
and that there's different dietary aspects for each thing as far as what you need to start with, you know, as far as that egg thing versus, you know, the raw milk. Believe it or not, some of it is milk. You actually need it.
Really?
Yeah. And everybody's so, you know, oh, I don't eat wheat or drink milk. And it's like, that's good if you're buying it in your local corner grocery that's not a natural food store, but it's not good to not have it at all. You know,
yeah.
I mean, if we even look at Bible times, they were drinking non-human milk after they were weaned and cooking with it. And everybody wants to talk about, we're not designed for that after. Well, yeah, we kind of are.
Well, but to the same point, you know, they didn't just drink cow's milk, I don't think.
There was goat
and there was sheep and there was...
But there wasn't almond milk or soy milk.
No, you're right. There was not.
And I always wonder when we take like a fruit or a vegetable and we start concentrating it, how really healthy that is.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of like goat's milk, sheep's milk, cow's milk, camel's milk, some places.
Oh, yeah, that's another...
They just took the whole milk as it came out of the animal
right.
and drink it.
They didn't pasteurize it.
Nope, they didn't heat it off.
They didn't just skim it.
They got the fat with it.
Yes.
And one of the worst things for this gut stuff, Catherine, uh-huh. is all this low-fat nonsense.
Yeah.
You need the fat.
Right. When I was telling you, I recently kind of took grains out for a while, and I was eating like full fat cheese along with, you know, chicken and trying to remember what else. I did have almonds, but I just ate the whole almond.
Right.
And I really noticed a difference in how my head felt.
Because
it got the fats in the oil.
There. You need those for the brain. The brain needs like 500 calories a day all by itself.
Yeah.
500 to 700, depending on how big it is, I guess. And anything after that, you need for your vital organs to function properly.
Right.
And
respiratory
then respiratory, heart, even the bowels, you know, to function properly. And then you might need more because then we're going to go out to the external extremities, to the muscles out there. But the body's going to feed the brain if it's not, and the heart, because those are the two things that keep you alive.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So if you don't have enough for other systems, they're going to start to break down, which is what we see in the cancers and what we see in the leaky gut stuff, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So I did mention the body centering prayer, but I think you need to also realize that this is not an easy transition. I get that. But do we give up right before the breakthrough?
Yeah.
Quite frequently we do.
Yeah. Can you tell us any more about like how long a process is?
Well, for an autistic child, or depending on how bad it is, your issue, the GAPS, the full-blown GAPS diet is 2 years. Of healing, of doing, following her diet and getting the healing in your gut.
So they're suggesting once you start to keep up with it for 2 years.
Yes.
To really see the full benefits.
Right.
Wow.
And
that is a long-term commitment.
It is a long-term commitment that most
people are not willing to make.
Well, most Americans for sure.
Granted.
Yeah. So the other is you can read through, and depending on what you're trying to help, you can start at different places, and then it may not take 2 years to get to a healthy place. Like you said, just cutting out the wrong kind of grains or, you know, things like that are going to be a start. You don't have to cut out all grains. I don't believe that we're not made to eat grains, just like the paleo diet. Well, if you look biblically, God changed the diet to include the seed of the plant, which is grains or the seed of the plant. And they are a staple of the biblical diet.
They are. But again, in a more holistic form than the processed white bread.
Exactly. Because biblically they ate it at the sprout.
Right.
That's the big deal about sprouted alfalfa, sprouted beans, and throwing them in your salad. And, you know, sprouted whole wheat bread or whatever, is that the grain is at the right time for the human body to digest it properly. Now, in American food production, they go past the sprout because they can get more grain out of it.
Right.
And they can sell more, make more money, and make more bread.
Right.
But at the same time, we're also making more sick people.
Sure. I was also wondering, Dr. Pauline, does the author give any ideas about how you know when your gut is healed? Is it just the state of how your body feels, or
you're going to have an overall general health. You know, if you're not leaking toxins into other parts of your physical system and they're retaining within the intestines like they're supposed to, and then passing out like they're supposed to, you're going to pretty well know, because you're going to be in a higher state of overall health. Now, sometimes we do something and we don't know it's helping us till we stop it or do it wrong, and then all of a sudden we just feel the crash, like you said. So sometimes we have to go through that a couple times to get it through our gut,
thick
skull, that it is really helping us, and it really does matter.
Yeah.
Now, once you're healed, you know, you go to a birthday party, you have a little piece of cake with your friend for their birthday, that's not going to ruin your system. You know, God did design us to be able to deal with a certain amount of that type of thing.
Sure. But I think it's the lifestyle of it that has so destroyed.
Yes, it is the lifestyle of it. I mean, you know, when a bag of chips is $1.50 and a bag of peanuts or a bag of almonds is $12, you know, a lot of people are going to buy the bag of chips.
Or a loaf of white
bread.
Plain bread is 89 cents or $1. And the sprouted grain bread is $4 or $5.
But, you know, as the saying goes, Catherine, pay now or pay later.
Yeah.
So that's really what we're talking about.
Yeah.
And I wish I had more time. I mean, we need to talk about these issues more because they do affect our ability to connect with God, too, if our brain's not functioning right.
Sure.
And we'll need to do a whole show on that.
Yeah, that'd be good.
But for now, I'm Dr. Pauline Dillard.
And I'm Catherine Pearson.
And we'll talk with you again soon.